You're listening to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. If you'd like to reach us on our off-air number, you can text or call at 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684. You can also visit our website at DougHaldeman.com, D-O-U-G-H-A-L-D-E-M-A-N.com. So I want to welcome into the studio, I have Knox Malis from Integrity Title Solutions. Welcome, Knox.
Thanks for having me, Doug. Glad to be here.
And I also have John Moeller, one of my favorite builders, realtors, contractors. You kind of do it all, John.
Thanks for having me.
And you have Diversified Real Estate and your building company. Tell us quickly about your building company.
Well, we are a custom home building company, kind of a boutique custom company in the St. Louis area. And we've been around for about 10 years.
And it's also under the Diversified name, right?
Correct. So we have Diversified Real Estate Group, which is more of the realty side of the company, and Diversified Building Group is the construction and custom home company.
Okay. And one of the things I want to talk to you guys about is the changing landscape when it comes to new construction. Because I was looking at a recent article that rated St. Louis among all the metropolitan areas in the country on an A to F scale, just like we would in school. And it was interesting because for new construction was the only area where we were not only above average, but we were an A-plus market nationally for new construction. And that surprised me a little bit. So I started digging into the data and really wanted to see, like this is the first official time I could say that builders are back on their feet. Building a new home was back in vogue again. So let's rewind a little bit and let's talk about what is it back in 2005, 2006, 2007 where builders went wrong, and what was the main thing that caused the downfall of most builders in town? What do you guys think?
Well, Doug, I think it had a lot to do with risk and how much risk certain builders were willing to take. They were developing subdivisions, and and associated with risk is the liability of carrying a lot of ground and interest carry. And they were pretty much bankrolling on and planning on developments to succeed, to create their success. And it was almost like going to the casino sometimes.
Yeah, and watching that break-even point on a certain subdivision where you have to have a certain number of houses sold in certain time frames, and if you don't, you can't meet your carrying cost. It seemed like a lot of them, they just couldn't meet those numbers.
That's right. It takes a lot of horsepower and momentum to get through major subdivisions, and you rely on those sales to make it profitable.
One of the interesting things I see too is the lead time in any industry. So when you look at creating a product and trying to take a product to market, and it can take, sometimes a few months, sometimes a few years, and you're always trying to shorten that time. Well, from the time a builder would start looking at a piece of ground that's undeveloped, siting it out, to then get it developed, get the zoning passed through, actually get the, start getting financing in place, and then eventually close on it, start developing it, pouring streets, and then someday starting to build, like how long would that whole process take for a lot of builders, John?
Well, I think optimistically on the short end, you're at a year and a half. Most likely it would be around 3 years, from the time when you put the ground under contract to closing on the ground to digging your first hole and then having your first house completed 5 to 6 months later, that time would be probably close to 3 years.
That's scary. That's really scary because the entire market can change.
Right.
And somebody that in 2006, the market hadn't quite changed yet, just a few preludes to it, and they have commitments out for all kinds of ground, subdivisions. You can't back out of that. Like there's not a very good way to start backtracking once you have all those commitments besides going out of business.
Absolutely. And it was great because a lot of the builders were making a lot of money and they were selling a lot of homes and building great homes, and when the economy tanked, it was a lot of the developments were so far in the process that they couldn't stop it.
Knox, on the title side, you guys had a lot of builders as clients back then.
Absolutely, still do. And, we've been fortunate because most of the builders that we've worked with over a long period of time have made it and weathered the storm. They may have evolved a little bit. In other words, there may be slightly different partners involved than were originally, but they weathered the storm. Now, there were a couple that we've dealt with that couldn't weather that storm, and I think part of the problem was a perfect storm. You had erosion when it came to the marketplace by both virtue of homes that were available and then those that had extra inventory tried to sell it more aggressively to get it off their books so they could bankroll the other ground they'd bought, and you ended up robbing Peter to pay Paul, and that never works very well.
Well, in fact, some people went to jail for that.
Correct.
Unfortunately. I mean, I think we all knew some builders that you know, misappropriated funds, and the unfortunate thing about that is you know, the banks end up being the loser. And a lot of times they weren't even misappropriating funds to be on vacation or live high on the hog. They might have just been trying to meet payroll.
Correct.
And unfortunately, they got drug under. I know people that did jail time from it.
Right.
And unfortunately, they all have to draw the line you know, somewhere. And one of the sad things I see, too, is almost all those builders, unless they were huge, they almost all had to personally guarantee any of their lines of credit. And that means that every one of those builders that went under probably had personal bankruptcies attached to it, too. We had builders losing their own homes and in everything that they'd saved and built up, you know, all those good times aren't worth anything if you can't bank it, you know, separate it off. It's like being in blackjack and you want to take some chips off the table, but not having the ability to do that. That's scary.
Yeah, you're all in, so to speak, and you can't pull out of it because it's too late. And I think some of those guys started almost being so competitive in the way that they would, you know, oh, they'd find a piece of ground and they would just buy it because they didn't want somebody else to come along and get it first.
Right.
Whether it was going to prove in or not, didn't matter. They bought it.
Well, and all boats float in a rising tide, and that's what we saw with builders is they, you know, they were all making money, and it was, you know, much like the mortgage industry, much like realtors back then, is that you know, even a turkey can fly in a tornado, and they were all doing well. You know, everybody's making money, and you then all of a sudden, like the you know, people had to reinvent themselves.
Absolutely.
When and John, I'll say you back in 2007, I had seven different builders that referred all their mortgage business to me. You are the only one out of those seven that I had back then that's still in business. So how did you, you know, like what kind of changes did you make and how did you avoid being drugged down with what happened with our meltdown?
Well, couple things that we did. We used to build quite a few spec homes. We never developed large tracts of land and functioned as a developer on large scale developments. But we used to build a lot of spec homes, and when the economy got tough, we made a decision not to do that and only build customs for our customers. So on the ground that we did own, what we would do is sell the lot to the customer, and then they would get their own construction financing, and we would be paid, you know, a fee like any builder would to build their home, and they would get their own financing.
Got it. And that definitely reduces risk because now as a builder – you really don't have much outlay. Like you don't have a lot of carrying costs involved with something like that, do you?
Not at all. You know, you always have some carrying costs on, you know, single lots depending on where they are. But a lot of times, like other builders are doing right now, we have been in situations where we have been able to put lots under option from banks so that we don't have to physically buy the lots in order to market them.
Okay, so that's an interesting topic because there are a lot of builders that have done that, and banks were stuck with so many lots that then they're stuck with the risk, and the price of those lots went down so dramatically. And you probably know lot prices a lot better than I do, and Knox, you probably see a lot of them coming through the title company. A lot of these lots out, let's say in St. Charles County, for instance, a lot of them are going for up to $80,000 each, I remember, on certain lots. Mm-hmm. How high, what kind of price change did you see in lots during that time period?
Well, I've really seen it all across the board, you know, anywhere from a low end of maybe 25 cents on the dollar to 75 cents on the dollar. And now, you know, we're seeing a lot more competition because a lot of more builders are trying to get back into the building business. But what was interesting is, you know, as St. Charles County was, it became more and more full with the developments. Builders started building outside of that area and, you know, even as far as Troy. And I know at one point Troy was one of the fastest growing counties in Missouri. And they were also one of the areas that had the biggest real estate losses in terms of land with the bank. So there were lots out in Troy, I know, that were they used to be able to sell for $40,000 or $50,000. The banks couldn't get rid of for $5,000 just because of the taxes associated with the builder buying them and carrying the ground.
Right. So the banks, as they were starting to give deals where they would actually carry the risk and you only have the lot under contract as an option, with deals like that, do you think the banks still have many of those left? Or are they starting to get rid of all that inventory?
A lot of the supply has been gobbled up over the last year or two. But in those areas like Troy and some of the areas a little bit on the outside, they have they do still have some inventory for sure.
Okay, so there are still deals out there where builders can put things like that under contract and be able to secure it without much risk. So
yes.
I think it's definitely interesting. And when we talk about some of the changes among builders, one of the things that comes to mind for me is technology. So if you want to know what are the biggest changes in technology with new construction, stay tuned. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Get back.